everybody, and thank you all so very much for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, sitting in studio with me is a man whose mood has slowly improved due to cooler weather and better play by his hockey team, Kyle Filson.
I'm here, yes, in studio. I have a head cold or something. I don't know if it's the change in weather.
Dude, if I had a head that looked like that, I'd be sick too.
Man, I don't.
You always sound
weird. Yeah, I know, but I'm more than normal. I don't know what it is.
That nose is completely stopped now. Yeah. Bro, we got to do something about you. I got a paddle bit and a drill.
Yeah.
We got to do something. I'm getting worried about, although your sleeping has improved.
Yeah.
Bro, when we've been on those trips and you brought your fighter pilot mask, it is amazing. It is amazing. Look, I'm happy because my brud's going to be around a lot longer. Like, I was really afraid there for a while. Like, homie ain't going to be with us once we get past about 55.
I didn't know.
But now he's fixed.
I didn't know how bad my sleep was. You know, I had to go do several sleep. This was years ago. Several sleep tests and stuff. And yeah, man, since you started using that CPAP,
dude, you're back in action.
I feel way better than I did before. You don't know that you're waking up 1,000 times a night during your sleep, right?
Near death all night long. That's all sleep is the cousin of death, right? That's it.
That's right.
Hope all of y'all have been doing great and getting better. Look, weather's getting cooler here. I know on the other side of the globe, it's warming up. Good for y'all. Y'all are tired of the cold. We are finally enjoying it. We had a hellacious little rainstorm blow through here.
Boy.
No hard water. But a lot of wind. We knocked down limbs. There was all kinds of stuff. Just randomly, we're rolling dice at D&D, and the next thing I know, there's tornado sirens.
Well, just yesterday, me and my wife were coming back. She went to work with me. We went up to Decatur and stuff, and we were coming back. And when we came home, we came back by the lake. We were going to go to HEB.
How much was down?
Drove by the disc golf course, and it looked like a river had run through that thing. Man. There were full-size trees just laying in fairways. So I have no idea how many inches of rain we got.
I have no clue. Yeah, it came through with a vengeance.
You know what's funny is, as lifelong Texans, it was funny to me to see out-of-staters starting to freak out when the tornado sirens and stuff are going. Dude, this is par for the course.
Everybody that lives with tornadoes is probably the same way as everybody that lives with, like,
hurricanes.
Well, and, like, hurricanes is probably another one of those. Or even earthquakes. Is like, there is a point to where you know when to be afraid and when not to be afraid, because like you talked, it happens every year. Like we've talked all the way up, you know, from here in Missouri, Kansas, as far as Nebraska, you keep going. Everybody that lives in this tornado alley stretch that gets hit with it, you get so used to growing up around it that it's just commonplace. And yeah, when you get people that have never lived here that move in,
start freaking out.
And I'm sure I would be the same way with an earthquake. Like I panic just thinking about it. Like the whole world is moving.
I'd like to experience an earthquake, but in the middle of an open pasture. It's because nothing can fall on me. That's what I'm worried about, right?
An earthquake where we were antelope hunting.
Yeah.
Right? Just a giant flat field.
You know what I'm saying? So you can feel it, but nothing's going to fall. It's the stuff falling on you that kills you.
What if the world opened up and just swallowed you? See, that's another thing that I would think about would happen out there is there would be like a rift in the ground and I would fall in.
But back to your point, like people that live around hurricane season, people are frightened. They drive, and some people are like, "It's party time."
You mean Florida
and Louisiana?
When those dudes just stand out there, they're just hanging out, screaming. It's blowing. They're holding the American flag. Free birds playing. They're drinking beer.
Wind whipping by. They get their surfboards out because they got some big waves finally.
Yeah,
you know
they don't care. Ruthless.
Surfing looks like it would be amazing.
Yeah,
it really does.
It would.
Except
it's in the water with monsters.
Well, that's why I would never do it because I'm scared of the sharks.
I would do it in one of those little wave pools where it gives that little riptide and the fat guy helps you get on the board. Like I've seen those dudes that look like old chubby dudes.
No,
man. Let me show you how to do it. And you go out there on that thing. Was it down by Waco? Isn't that what it is? The cable park?
That's a good one. Yeah.
I'd go down there for that.
Yeah, that would be cool. Right.
I would do that.
It's not as cool as it is. My wife watched a bunch of them for like an hour in San Diego. Not San Diego, Santa Cruz.
And was digging it.
And it was awesome, but I'm like, do they not know that there's great whites all underneath them?
Also, too, big shout out to Andrew at Ninjas for getting his deer with his bow.
Yeah,
big up. Speaking of surfers, now Andrew likes to give me a hard time because of, you know, my fear of the whole shark thing. And so he gives me, and he wants us to come down, and we're going to go, you know, be on Ninjas and hang out with the guys, but we'll probably have to wait. That's what he wants us to do.
I know what he told me that. I'm like, well, you can want all you want. I'm not going.
I don't think I can get in the water, man. I'm terrified.
I'm
going
to be like that guy when he pulls him out of the helicopter in Apocalypse Now. I'm not going. I'm not going. Yeah. And he just runs up and pulls him out.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you're going.
You're going. I'll tell you what, too. I also am a little leery about going back to Tennessee.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why, folks. Listen to this. What I have for you is a little unnerving. It starts out saying that it was June of 1997 in North Central Tennessee. At around midnight, the witness and his cousin were on a hunting trip, sitting at the edge of a large hollow filled with dense underbrush and numerous evergreens. This hollow led into a larger valley with a clearing, which then extended into an ancient Indian burial site. First of all, how do you know?
But that's
just because it looks good. What is there headstones that says, hey, look, ancient Indian burial? I don't know. I'm just saying it. So after sitting quietly for a while, it says they heard the sound of brush rustling deep within the hollow. The loud racket suggested that whatever was making the noise was large. One of the witnesses was armed. I felt good reading that part, folks, till I read this. With a .22 Magnum rifle, which had approximately 150 rounds of ammunition. You're okay now. When you go to .22 Mag, you're like, eh, okay. What? Oh, wait, 150 rounds of .22 Mag?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm back on the thumbs up now.
Yeah,
we're right. Good here. Get a load of this. Using his night vision scope.
Jeez, this guy's not playing.
Now, I'm going to stop. I want to stop right here. Okay.
I'm going to get a drink of water.
Here's why I want to stop right here. What are you doing with night vision scope and a .22 mag at night?
Looking for trouble.
Those are usually what we refer to as one-eyed coon dogs, which those are known as spotlights around here. And that's what people like to spotlight hunt with the .22s because it doesn't make as much noise as a large caliber rifle. I'm not saying that's what was going down. I'm just saying.
And did they mention if it was suppressed or not?
Smells a little fishy. It doesn't mention if it's suppressed, but it does say that using his night vision scope, he initially saw what appeared to be a man. However, upon closer inspection, he realized that the figure was a creature about 7 to 8 feet tall, covered with thick, dark fur. I'm not liking this. It was slimmer than a typical image of Bigfoot, almost skinny, and it had a neck. And protruding from either side of its head were long, tapered horns.
Wait, horned Bigfoot?
A horned Sasquatch.
Okay.
So these horns were dark in color, and additionally, there was a horn on the top of its head that pointed straight up. So a Triceratops Bigfoot.
This sounds like a demon.
That's exactly right. All of the horns were approximately 5 to 6 inches in length and matched the creature's dark coloration. Terrified, the witness emptied a 25-round magazine into the creature.
Good move. Retreating
to a nearby cabin about 60 feet away.
Good move.
The next morning, they could find no sign of the beast, only a scattering of spent shell casings and bullet holes in a nearby walnut tree.
That sounds like every one of my hunting trips. I shoot, don't find nothing, come back the next morning, all I find is tracks
and
spent
brass.
Shells.
That's right. The witness believed he had struck the creature several times, but nearby animal traps had been sprung and all the bait was missing. On a nearby ridge, the witness discovered a series of tunnels made of brush and various sizes of tree limbs, vines, and leaves. They speculated that this could be the creature's lair, but refused to investigate any further. Now, I will add to a lot of this, and I hate naysaying a bunch of this stuff, but Look, when you're in the woods and it's real thick brush, everybody that's been through it knows, you can see where deer travel through there, pigs travel through there, and it gives it it's a tunnel. I mean, it's basically overgrown brush turns into a tunnel. It could have simply been that. I do like the fact that they found the impact in a tree. So was it going through the creature, or was it one of those old-fashioned brush bucks that get us all before the morning comes up, right? I've seen some monster whitetail in my life until the sun came up.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, that's just a bush. Is that what it was? I don't know. They said it was a thermal. They saw it with a thermal. So undoubtedly, it was throwing heat.
I've been fooled by the same bush multiple times on multiple days. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the same stand.
Yeah. Oh, I was wrong yesterday, but I think that's really a deer this day. Nope, still an idiot. And I have to just keep
it's hopeful
it.
Thinking, wishful thinking.
Yeah, wishful
right?
thinking. I'm sorry, it was night vision. He didn't say it was a thermal. So they did see something, but a horned sounds again like a demon
sounds
of
like
some
a demon
sort.
To me, yeah. Check this out. It says it happened in the fall of 2013. I can describe everything more efficiently in person, like their skin, eyes, bodies, and other things I noticed in the foreground and background. Their skin, these things that I saw, had very strange properties. I observed them from my living room window through binoculars under a tree, usually covered with lichen. They were about 3 foot tall, and they just stood there. At first, there was one looking toward me in the direction of the sun. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. I looked again, and there were now two of them descending beside each other. It started to scare me. They were camouflaged against the background, almost as if they were in a clearing under a tree. It felt like it was like I was witnessing another dimension. I watched them for a long time, these humanoids. And then all of a sudden, they were gone. I kept watching and they appeared again. And then they disappeared again. They reappeared and stayed for at least 2 hours. I kept checking back and they were still there. I decided to take a shower, thinking that I must be hallucinating. But when I came out, they were still there, looking towards the sun in my direction. I wanted to tell someone, but I felt they wouldn't understand or see what I was witnessing because they were camouflaged like a reptile. They had big round eyes, 2 holes for a nose, and a slit for a mouth. It sounds like a slee stack.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, their skin was like scales that changed colors to match the background.
Dude, it's a slee stack.
I fell asleep after about 3.5 hours. When I woke up and looked, they were still there. I told myself that no one would believe this, so I'm back to sleep. When I woke up again, they were gone. Now, there are many more details I could share. There were things I sensed and felt even before I saw them. I believe something is happening underground in this area. I could hear bizarre sounds coming from below. There's so much more detail I can describe. Experience of this type won't leave my mind. It's driving me crazy. When I searched online, I found that others had seen similar things. This place is near Boeing Airfield in South Seattle.
Mm.
So what he's describing is
slee stacks.
Yeah, he saw these, you know, slee stack looking reptilian skin shifting in colors, humanoids just milling around under this tree, digging around in the leaf litter and stuff. Like, he doesn't know what they were doing.
Looking for acorns.
My thing is, they were there for several hours and you didn't go outside and like confront them.
You didn't touch off your 22 mag with a 25 right? round magazine.
Because that would have been my first thought.
I'm going to get me a
call
lizard.
Call the cops.
I'm going to make me a belt and matching boots and wallet.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I will say this too. Kyle and I, and we get a lot of messages from y'all about covering certain things and we don't cover a lot of these wild, really wild conspiracies, but Kyle and I have, when we were younger and first started hearing the stories about all of this reptilians, we made a lot of fun of it, like a lot of fun of it, right? We had a big, good time having a joke about it. But the older I've gotten and the more I have learned and more I have seen uncovered in the last few years, it lends me to believe maybe there might be a little truth to some of these stories.
A race of reptilians living in the ground.
I'm not. It's hard for me to want to just dust off and just throw anything out except for flat earth, anything out the window. Right. Like, I'm like, dude, I don't know. Maybe there are lizard people around this joint because we've gotten some interesting stories.
Yeah, the Newkirks that did the.
What was the name of that one?
Hellier.
There you go.
Something like that. The first one was pretty good, but they were documenting strange beings seen coming in and out of caves.
Yeah, that's
like
that's
a massive
wild.
Cave system there in the Appalachia area.
I've got one.
And
here.
So I'd like to think that that's actually going on.
Oh, I believe. If anywhere, wouldn't you think it would be in those mountains, right? Yeah, you'd be like, that makes sense. There's a whole group of them just hanging out in there. We've talked about this, too. This is something I think you're going to enjoy. You'll really get a kick out of this, too. Ernesto sent this in. He says, about a year ago, I went camping with a friend who owns a large property. We enjoy primitive camping there, and it's surrounded by beautiful Texas mesquite and cedar. So one evening, as we sat by the fire, enjoying our conversation, carving and whittling on some little logs and whatnot we had around there, my friend accidentally cut himself with a knife, of course. It's just a small cut. But he wanted to head back to the truck, which was about a mile or so away, to get the first aid kit, just to make sure it wouldn't get infected, keep it clean. So while he was gone, I'm sitting by the fire, texting my girlfriend, and when the sunset dimmed behind the trees, it started to get dark pretty quickly. And out of nowhere, I heard a sound, a whistle that was definitely made by a person, not a bird. My friend had been gone for maybe 5 or 6 minutes, so I knew it couldn't be him. Suddenly, I felt a wave of dread wash over me, as if I had to either confront whatever was out there or run and hide from it. It was an unexplainable fear. I consider myself brave, and I often go primitive camping alone without my phone. Woo! What a claim. I go primitive camping alone without my phone. Hey, brother, I was doing that when I was 12, and they didn't even have phones. Says, I've encountered bobcats, mountain lions, and wild hogs, but this whistle struck a different chord of fear that I've never experienced before. I switched tabs to call my friend to ask him to come back, and he didn't pick up. So I sent him a text saying, come back now. Someone's here with me. I decided it was best to stay quiet and lay low. So I crouched down, took deep, slow breaths, and stealthily reached for the dagger I had placed on a rock next to a tree. Excuse me, y'all. That's only a D4's worth of damage with your dagger. I felt like the air was heavy, almost as if I was moving through water, and everything was silent except for that eerie whistle. Suddenly, a surge of memories flooded my mind. Thoughts of my family, my friends, and my girlfriend. My breathing quickened while my heart inexplicably slowed down. Just then, my friend rushed back with his axe ready, and I felt relief at the sight of him. There's strength in numbers. And when I asked if he had heard the whistling, he looked confused and said, I haven't heard anything. To this day, I have no idea what happened or how to explain it. He suggested it might have been the wind passing through something, but I don't believe the wind could create a tune like that. Has anyone else ever experienced something like this? Ernesto. And that's the reason I point out, because remember, my son's talked about it. Yeah. We've had a lot of folks talk about it. We've got a ton of stories sent in from y'all. Some of them, of course, we don't read because it's nothing more than, hey, I was on a walk, heard an odd whistle. It stayed with me for a while. And it's the same feeling of dread. Is this something reaching out? It's got to be getting something out of this. Yeah.
I think it's fake.
I think you're right.
They're trickster spirits, right? They like to torment people. They like to play jokes on you, pranks. Yes. They offer you food and drink. Anything they can do to lure you into the forest.
And they get something out of it. I don't know what it is, but it seems they get something out of this whole thing.
Yeah, so if you hear whistling, just keep walking.
Just keep walking, exactly. Right.
Well, let's take a break. And when we get back from the break, we're going to be talking about some strange alien abduction stories or missing people. Oh. Stick with us, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives.
Man.
You know, the idea of alien abduction is one of the scariest things that you can contemplate because it's an abduction, right? They take you.
We've made jokes about this since we were kids.
Just show up. What?
We've made jokes about this since we were kids, you and I. Not really kids. Like, just always talking about how would you get away from it? Remember, we've always said if it's there, they get you. They have a 100% batting average.
They come through walls.
You're never going to be like,
where could I sleep? Could I sleep inside of a bank vault?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. Get you. I still think they can come get you.
Remember I told you I wanted to sleep with a heart monitor.
Yeah.
And I have C4 on my body. And when my heart gets above a certain number, it just explodes. So when I freak out, I blow the ship up.
So you want to you're going to allow them to abduct you. So once you're on board,
I'm
then
not
going to
allow them. I can't stop them.
Yeah.
They're just going to do it.
Well, there are things you can do to maybe slow down the chance.
Hold on. What have you found?
Well, there's lots of stories, and I just recently saw a documentary, but I've also read this before in other accounts, is people will be abducted, and then they won't be taken. They'll be returned because they had a vasectomy. So you're no use to them.
Oh.
So if you get a vasectomy, you have a less likely chance of being abducted, or at least taken away.
I think I'll just take my chances on being abducted.
Yeah, there's lots of this. I should have made a list. There's a list of things that, like, they don't like certain things.
They take you down. They pull out your genitals. They look around. They're like, nope, this guy's genitals are null and void, and they ship you back.
Oddly enough, for some reason, they seem to like people with German ancestry. More of them are abducted than any other, like, group of people.
You got any of that in you?
No. Maybe a little.
I don't know. I think there's some in my mother's side of the family.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think there's any in your side.
And then there's other, like,
you were on the other side.
There's other areas like the Basque region, right?
Yes,
they have the special rare blood and stuff. So it's like those people are abducted more often than others. So, and my question is, are they just randomly grabbing people and then giving them a blood sample and then putting them back, or do they
maybe somehow they know? Maybe they I know this sounds insane. Maybe they put off a smell.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Maybe there's something that what they're picking up on. I mean, like, don't you have a family member that's got some Rh negative blood?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
I actually did. Yeah, but I've also had family members that have had experiences.
Yeah, we're not even going to go down that
alien
path.
Yeah. I've been terrified of alien abduction ever since I saw the movie Communion.
Is it bad? I've never been terrified. Is that pretty bad?
Yeah, I stuttered. I'm so scared I was stuttering.
That's scared. Just reading about it, your tongue gets scared.
I remember when I saw the movie Communion as a kid, man. It freaked me out. And then later I made a mistake of reading that book.
The problem with Communion for me was I had never seen it, never even knew it existed till I met you. And then you had told me about it. And I was a few years older after you had already seen it when I actually watched it. And then here I am a few years older, freaked out about something. Yeah. I wished I had never known that.
And we
movie
were at a
existed.
Conference and we met Whitley.
Yeah, which was cool.
So
and
it was very cool.
You telling him the story and the whole thing about, as kids, we were freaked out, dude.
Yeah. Well, check this one out. This says, in 2005, my husband, Bill, and I purchased a house near Fort Campbell, Kentucky. Bill was stationed at the base, and we figured that he would most likely stay since he was a wounded veteran from Operation Iraqi Freedom, and he had accepted a permanent position at headquarters. The house was built in the 1890s and had a Victorian style to it, though there had been several renovations and additions. We have three children, all girls, who were 9, 11, and 15 at the time.
Oh, I'm sure that house was quiet. I wouldn't ask to be abducted.
There was a lot of space for everybody, including a large yard with woodland surrounding the property. When Bill returned from the physical rehabilitation, he didn't elaborate or comment much on how he sustained his injuries, nor did he talk about his time while in Iraq. We had been married for 12 years before his deployment, and I was content to the life as an Army spouse. When he returned, things had not really changed until we had settled into the new home. One morning, I woke and noticed that Bill was not in bed. It was around 6:30 a.m., and he usually slept in to at least 7:15. Then he would get up, eat breakfast, and head to headquarters. I woke the girls up for school and made my way downstairs to the kitchen to start making breakfast. When I walked into the kitchen, I noticed Bill was seated at the table, arms down at his side and staring straight ahead. It actually shocked me because I'd never seen him like this. I sat across the table and looked directly at him. After a minute or so, he looked into my eyes and said, "I need to tell you something." He decided to stay home that day while I proceeded to feed my girls and get them off to school. Bill continued to sit at the table the entire time, not saying a word. I could tell that the girls were a bit confused since he did not speak to them either. When I returned home from dropping the girls off at school, Bill was sitting in the living room drinking a cup of coffee and reading a newspaper. I sat down on the sofa, fearing what I was about to hear. I knew it was going to be bad news. He looked at me and said, "I think I'm going to leave soon." I was in shock. I said, What exactly are you telling me, Bill?" He looked away for a second, then looked back towards me. "It has something to do with what happened in Mosul." Now, his division was deployed to northern Iraq near the city of Mosul. His hands and lips started to quiver. He said, "Something happened, and I can't quite explain it. I wasn't able to report it to command because of the ramifications." He stood up and walked over to the sofa and sat down beside me. He said, "The wounds I sustained were not from enemy ordnance. I was abducted by a group of people or something that I can't quite explain." He explained that his platoon was on night patrol east of the city when a firefight began. Several of the soldiers went down, requiring a retreat in order to get the wounded out of harm's way. At one point, Bill was alone covering several soldiers who helped others back towards the city. Things had quieted down, and Bill was about to head back towards the base when suddenly he was knocked off his feet by a tremendously loud thud. The next thing he remembered, he was lying face up on a table in a spacious room with bright yellow lights all around. There were four beings that looked human that were dressed in thick, dark wool-like looking robes. Each had a small circular cap on their head that reflected the yellow light. One of the beings told Bill that he was become one of them, or that he was to become one of them, and that he had no choice in the matter. After that, he had no further memory of the beings. When he became conscious, he was in a medical helicopter on his way to Baghdad. He was told he was being transported for medical treatment to another location. He was then given what he thought was a sedative. He woke sometime later in a dark room, unable to move. After a time, a nurse came into the room and told him that he was in Germany and being treated for his wounds. She injected something into the IV and left again, and the room went dark. Bill thought from that time forward, he was kept in a semi-conscious state for a long period of time, possibly for several weeks. About a month after sustaining his injuries, he was admitted to a hospital for rehab. This was the first time that he was able to see the extent of his injuries, as well as an explanation for what he was facing. Both of Bill's legs had deep, long scars on the front and back. He was told that he lost a considerable amount of nerve and muscle tissue, but that he would be able to recover much of his strength and sensation through rehabilitation. He inquired about surgery records, but was told no surgery was performed. He then asked how the wounds were closed. The physician said that there was no description of sutures or skin grafting in the record. The physician agreed with Bill that this seemed very irregular. For over a year, Bill tried to get answers but was stonewalled by the military and medical officials. When he returned home, I was surprised Bill was able to move around as well as he did, even though the scars on his legs indicated significant trauma. As Bill sat beside me, his voice started to shake. He said, "They will come back for me. I have no way of avoiding it." I was still awestruck by everything that I had heard. I said, "Is there any way the medical staff at the fort can help you?" He looked away and said, "It's beyond that point." We continued to live a fairly normal life despite what Bill had told me. He never mentioned the incident again, and I tried to forget it. As time went by, I assumed Bill has suffered some form of battlefield stress through, you know, what he maintained while he was over there. But he was still able to keep busy and remain a productive schedule at home and at work. One warm evening in July 2007, Bill left us. He'd been working in the yard when all of a sudden my youngest girl let out a horrific scream. I ran out the back door into the yard and witnessed Bill's lifeless body lying near a poplar tree. He had taken a pocket knife and drawn it across his throat. It was so abrupt and unexpected. Bill had stated that he did not want a military funeral and wanted to be cremated. After a coroner's inquiry, it was determined that Bill had taken his own life. Last year, I was cleaning out Bill's clothes and personal effects when I discovered an envelope in a footlocker that he had kept in the garage. I pulled out and read the single sheet of paper, and it read, "They told me it was time to leave. I'm sorry, though I'm sure you'll understand. No, I don't understand. It's simply beyond the pale. KS." So, was he abducted for real, while he was in combat, or did he just experience some horrific, you know, explosion and PTSD that he created that in his mind?
Yeah, that's,
A lot of soldiers, you know, unfortunately come back and don't handle it as well as others. And suicide's a real thing. And that's another strange thing too, because, right, it doesn't affect everybody. PTSD, I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Some are fine with it. And then some, I mean, because we know people that have had it truly affect them.
Oh, yeah.
And then we know people to where it hasn't seemed to phase them at the least. It's just like them going to the grocery store, right? Where they're like,
"Well, that's the thing.
I do it again." You're like, "Oh, what?"
And I don't think that the medical science fully understands.
No, no.
You know, there's people that claim that just if they grew up where we did, they would have had PTSD.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But then other people, it doesn't bother them.
Phase them.
I don't
know. So strange.
Unfortunately, this guy took his own life.
Yeah, it could have been, suicide.
My question is,
mental illness, or
was it a real alien abduction?
And I guess we'll never know, right? You'll never know, so it's one of those, but.
And then there's lots of cases of alien abduction where people claim that they saw humans on board. Not ones that have been taken, but like working with the grave.
Yes,
And then, Betty and Barney Hill said there was like a redheaded, what looked like an Irishman in military fatigues on board.
Well, didn't Travis allude to that too?
Walton?
Yeah. I can't remember if his was one where he said that he thought he saw people or not. And I mean the real story, not the movie.
I don't remember the actual details. I can't
remember. But yeah, there's been several where people have talked about seeing it. And some have even talked about seeing them wearing military outfits on those craft with the aliens, like telling that they were wearing some sort of a military outfit.
Recently, there was a guy that was working somewhere out. It might have been out Area 51 or something. And they were driving down a road and they saw what looked like an alien human hybrid, but it had military fatigues on. He said that like the guy looked blue and he thought the guy was just out of breath, was having trouble breathing. And the other guy was like, look, he doesn't have any ears. And he's right. It's smooth.
There's like an underwater space war going on right now. We don't know anything of it.
Well, you know, the Schneider case sounds ridiculous.
Yeah, but the older I get, the more I'm like, what if?
What if, right?
Yeah, that is crazy.
You know, like, I mean, that's the thing is aliens, they're not coming from outer space. They've been here the whole time. They're in the ocean. They're in cave systems.
Yeah.
They're in the inner earth. They've been here longer than we have.
They hide from us because we're slightly chaotic. So they're like, are you freaked out
about the three-eye atlas or whatever that is?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Do you think they're just sensationalizing it? Do you think it's actually an alien?
I think it's all of it.
So we only have weeks then.
Well, no, I think it's all completely sensationalized as well, because I don't even want to go down this rabbit hole because it's never ending, right? Mm-hmm. Is it all being lied? Are we all being lied to? Is this all a false flag? Is this all something that's been built and put up? I'll say this. If it lands in America, it's made up.
Well.
Well, that's what I'm, you know what I'm saying? I mean, because you're like, why does the aliens always land with the good guys?
Every movie, it always talks to the president of the U.S.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's what we understand. It's English. So we want to see it in it. So that's what I'm getting at is like, what if it lands in like enemy of the world's backyard? And they're just like, hey, what's going on? Because everybody listening knows the second liar doesn't stand a chance. And for those that don't understand what that means, the first person that gets the story out, it's always like, oh, that must be the real story. Yeah. Then it's harder to break that story down. So, yeah, I'm a little geeked out about it, but I don't know enough because I don't believe any of the crap I see with all the AI images and video and all that. Like, I don't believe. I would have to be looking through this telescope. I'd have to find it myself in order for me to want to really truly believe what I'm seeing.
But it's going to be here soon, right? Isn't it going to be here like in the middle of next month?
I hope it doesn't ruin deer season.
That's all you're worried about?
Well, yeah. I mean, what else have I got to worry about? If it kills me, it kills me. I'm not worried about that, but I just don't want it to ruin my deer season. I don't want to have to fight aliens in the middle of a great deer season. We haven't had a good one in the last 3 years. Now we're going to be in an alien war.
Well, maybe we're not going to fight them like you think. Maybe it'll be like a microbial battle. Like what I mean is they'll bring some virus along with them. It'll wipe us out.
Or maybe it works in the opposite. They land and in 3 weeks, they're all dead because our common cold wiped them out.
Maybe they're
we never talk about the fact that we are probably a lot dirtier than they are.
I don't know, though. A lot of the accounts said they have like oily skin and that's how
they need to.
They excrete out through their pores.
Yeah. I'm going to throw some Ajax on them. Just cut that. Hit them with Palmolive gun. Just blow the grease off of them. I got something here that took place in Texas, Brad.
Okay.
I have to share this with you. Okay. It says, I am currently living with my retired cousin in Cedar Park, Texas. This is the area where I have had some very weird experiences in and around Muir Lake. I love to fish and to take pictures of wildlife and whatnot. I've always been an avid hunter and fisherman. My dad taught me at a young age how to shoot a gun and how to be safe with a firearm. I wasn't even 7 years old when I went dove hunting with a 20-gauge pump Winchester shotgun with my dad. I've seen mountain lions in Mississippi. I've seen big black wolves running around in Texas. My experience happened right around the corner, though, from where I'm living. They were working on a $1 million park for a year now, which is based around Muir Lake, where I fish. This little lake was built by the Army Corps of Engineers in the late 1950s. But anyway, around 9 o'clock one evening last year, I would say late September, early October, I asked my cousin Tony and his girlfriend if they wanted to go fishing. I said, hey, Tony.
No. Tony.
That's right. And he responded, so you want to go find the boogeyman? Kind of laughing back at me. And I said, yeah, sure. So we got in his van and we went to the other side of the dam. There's a nice little place to fish. We got there. We sat in the car for a minute or two just talking. Then Tony and I got our gear out and walked to the back of the water. His girlfriend was still getting some stuff out of the van, and I asked Tony if he had any extra hooks or any weights in his tackle box. He said, oh, yeah. He flipped open the latch of his tackle box, and then it rolled over and down to the edge of the water. You know, you flip over the big lid, and there it spilt all of his goody. So I'm trying to get my phone light on so we can see. When he was gathering up all of his stuff, I noticed there was a bright light up by the road. Well, it seemed like it was just hovering there about 8 foot off the ground. So I said, hey, look, Tony. He said, hey, look, that's just a street light. I said, no, I don't think it is because it's starting to descend and now it's zigzagging. By that time, his girlfriend was walking back from the van and telling me to shut off the phone light. She said that someone was asking her if she had a cigarette. She thinks that there's some homeless people coming in and going to set up camp. So I yelled out, can I help you? At this point, there's no signs of this light that I had just seen. And where we were, there were only two streetlights that were visible. Now, it's fairly warm that night, no wind or rain, so it's pretty much clear. But there was just enough light coming in from the street that you could still make out a few things. So when I was walking back to the front of the van, Tony, with a machete in one hand, and his girlfriend, I noticed that the same light in the woods was now on the other side of us, about 50 foot away. Now, I know these woods, this area we're in, like the back of my hand. And if anybody's walking through there, I would have heard their feet crunching on all the dry leaves. So I said, look, there it is again. This bright orb at this point was probably 8 foot off the ground and the size of a volleyball. But in the middle of it, it looked like watery shimmer, and the outside looked like a halo. Sounds like they're describing Stargate flying around.
Yeah, right.
All of a sudden, I see two more of these things appear on each side of the original one. And now it's about a foot below the others, which in contrast makes the other two approximately 7 foot off the ground. Now, they were still believing that it was homeless people, so I called out, of course, again, can I help you? No response again. So we're all just standing there in front of the van, not making any sound, and suddenly this air pump went off from a paint and body shop that's across the road about 150 to 200 yards from us. Well, at this point, it scares the hell out of us. So we're just standing there, all these bright glowing orbs, when the two that were new, that were still there hovering 7 foot off the ground, they're the size of basketballs, zip down to the size of marbles, zigzag, and then vanish one after another. Now, at this point, I realize I still have my phone in my hand, and the whole time during this event, I did not think one time about taking a picture or video. After the lights were gone, I turned to Tony, and I told him, I think I'm ready to go back to the house. Now, at this point, I just remember getting into his van and sitting down in the back seat. And I know for a fact that this entire event couldn't have been over an hour because we were just around the corner from the house where all this took place. So we left at 9 p.m. We looked at the clock when we got back home, and it was midnight. And we didn't even throw a line in the water. I'm not sure where all those hours went, but something happened. D.
Yeah, that's a common occurrence, missing time.
Just seeing these things flying around. So it's one of those deals. Is it like being in like an alternate universe when they get around you? Time around you slows, but everything else is going normal speed or faster or something. Like, how does it go? Literally, you're 5 minutes from your house. You don't even get, you go down, you're there for less than an hour. You come back, you ought to be home before 10, and it's midnight.
Well, time dilation is a real thing. Like, man, the faster you go, like the closer you get to the speed of light, time slows down. So maybe you're onto something.
So the slower you go, the faster time goes. And the faster you go, the slower time goes. No wonder time feels like it's getting away from me because I don't go very slow.
You know what I'm saying? So like if you go and you're going like 3/4 of the speed of light.
Well, that's what they, yeah, and you come back to Earth.
It's like 150 years later. So maybe they're abducting you for a minute, but when they bring you back, it's 6 hours later.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, so maybe that's a real thing.
Yeah, you spent 45 seconds with them and it's 2 hours.
Yeah.
Dude, hey.
Because that's, a common occurrence is missing time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Check this out. It says, several years ago, my uncle, my father's brother, passed away. He lived in Lansing, Michigan at the time. I was born and was living in Lansing until I moved to West Lafayette, Indiana, for college. After I graduated, I moved to Arizona, where I currently reside. A few weeks after my uncle passed away, I received a package from the executor of my uncle's estate. The contents included several personal items that belonged to my father and a large envelope with several photographs from the 1960s. One of the photos were of my father and uncle at various hunting camps. The envelope also contained a letter written by my uncle to me. There was no date, but I could tell he had handwritten it. It said, "I never knew how to explain what happened. In 1966, not long after you were born, your dad, a guide, and I were in North Bay, Ontario, moose hunting. We had been out there in the forest for almost 6 hours and were making our way back to the cabin. It was dusk, and it started to become dark quickly. As we got nearer to the cabin, we could hear strange whirling sounds coming from the direction that we were heading. It was now dark, and we could see a bright green light that was shining above the cabin. We stopped walking and looked at it and was like, what is that? What are we looking at? We watched as the light, as it slowly circled about 50 feet above the cabin. The light, or whatever this was oblong in shape. I could not judge the size since there was an aura around it. The swirling sound continued. The next thing we remember was waking up in our cabin bunks the next morning. All of us had sharp pains around our ears and our eyes. We couldn't explain what had happened to us. We packed all of our gear and headed for home as soon as we could. By the time we reached Lansing, your dad was terribly ill. Your mom rushed him to the hospital that same night. The doctor said that he had the flu, but I knew better. I didn't suffer any of the effects. The guide was also okay. Your dad was in the hospital for 4 days before he started to feel better, but he was really never the same after that. I believe the incident at the cabin affected him, and affected him deeply. He would say that he continually had sharp stabbing pains all over his body. It became so bad that he could not work. Well, you know the rest of the story. I felt that you deserved an explanation of what happened. I don't know if you should tell your mom. That's your decision. As long as you can remember, as long as I can remember, my father was in and out of treatments. When I received the letter, this is the woman talking now, she said my mother had already passed away. I don't know if she ever knew what really happened to my father. My mother was the sole breadwinner for our family. We did receive some money from the state for my father's disability, but I don't know how much it was. Those payments stopped soon after my father took his own life in 1975. I wish I knew more about what happened that evening at the cabin. So here's another person.
It just weighs too heavy on them. Yeah.
But again, missing time. They saw something above their cabin when they were out moose hunting. Next thing they know, whoop, they're in their beds. They don't know how they got there.
I don't know that I could ever wrap my head around it either. Imagine knowing, and yet you cannot remember or put your finger on any of it.
Well, and apparently there was a letter written by her uncle to her. Her father never told them about what happened to anybody.
Golly.
You know, that's what makes Travis heavy. Walton case so good is it wasn't a first. There were witnesses that saw it all go down.
Seven of them.
Right. And I mean, they were being pressed by the cops and the sheriffs of the area because
they were going to prison for life.
They thought it was foul play.
And again, they never changed their story. They're like, dude, this is what happened. I'm glad you brought that up. Look, I've got something here for you. Gerald, okay, says that this happened several years back. Says, I work as an armed security guard in San Antonio, Texas. And one evening, I was working the late shift downtown. It's 11 o'clock at night. I'm doing my paperwork and returning to the station there that I was guarding. I wrote down 2300, and that's the last thing I remember except coming to, walking down a highway at 4 in the morning. A lady and her son stopped and picked me up. Now, I had no idea where I even was. So they drove me to a convenience store where there I used a phone to call my son and he come and pick me up. And it took him an hour to get there. I ended up having 5 hours of missing time. When I got home, I went to sleep for a day and a half. And when I came to, I had bruises all over my legs and all over my arms. My uniform was perfectly clean. I didn't fall down. I didn't tumble. The uniform was perfectly clean. I still have no idea how I got all the way out there. It's weird. It took me a week to find my truck. I had to call the sheriff's office to get them to track it down, and it was parked on the side of the highway in perfect condition. Not a scratch on it. It didn't wreck, nothing. It looked like nothing had ever happened at all. It said this 5 to 6 hours missing time. Now, it goes on to say this. When I found my truck, okay, inside my truck was my gun belt, my weapon, everything I had, my pockets I had emptied out, my wallet was in the truck, everything was in there. When they found me, what I was wearing, all of my clothes were perfectly cleaned except my shirt was untucked and my boots were untied, and I came to walking down a highway almost like over an hour. It was like 200 miles from where right. he had parked his truck. And walked off into the dark. Now, again, if a lady and her son picks up someone at 4 in the morning, right, whether they were going to work, whatever they were doing, you're telling me nobody else would have seen what looked like a police officer by anybody's means of driving by, walking down the side of the road. Nobody else would have offered help.
Right.
So were they just, was he just dropped off there and they just happened to find him just then? It goes on. He goes into a little bit more stuff saying, look, I've never had anything happen like this. Never before. Never has it happened since. Said, now, I will say this. My head felt like I had had a concussion for over a week. But after being checked out, nothing. Nothing. Like, I was perfect. The whole thing. Like, I was, aside from the bruises and a little bit of that, everything was fine. So I have no idea how I got there. No idea what happened. And it's never happened since. Says I can't, right. I can't put my finger on any of it.
So, I mean, how do you explain that?
I don't even know. The only logical explanation, there's only two. One, you're a liar. Or two, you got abducted by aliens. That's it.
You walked through a portal somehow.
Yeah, I mean, that is truly the only thing I could come up with. So, the idea, and you know, this is still a very hot button topic discussed today, is alien abduction.
Yeah, right.
Some say it's BS. People that it's happened to is like, dude, it's real. To me, I think it's one of those things. I think alien abduction and what really happens to those people is a lot like sex. You can read about it. You can see it on TV. You can do all these things without ever having it, and yet you know nothing about it.
Right, yeah.
And I think that's what it is. I think that UFO abduction stuff is, yeah, it might be nothing more than their an imagination or night terrors or something at one point. But there are way too many stories like the Walton case and these others where there are multiple people watch something happen to someone. And then that's, look, I just.
And for whatever reason, most of the famous accounts seem to take place in like the 70s and 80s. It's kind of.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that there aren't current cases. There
well,
are.
I mean, you can go back to the 50s and find some, too, which is weird,
but
too.
It seemed like there was a lot during the 70s and 80s.
It's I think it was easier to do.
What is going on?
Well, maybe they learned everything they needed to learn, right? Like, you can only, I mean, if you abducted that many people, after a while, you'd kind of know. Like, I can kind of figure this out, you know.
Maybe they take their samples and then, like, they run out and then they got to come back.
They got to come back. But like you always make the joke, it's the kids with the I have the report due tomorrow on a human being. The thing that I find the most unsettling about the abduction, everything, the whole phenomena, is the way it follows families.
Yeah. From father to son.
Yeah. Especially. And it can go multiple generations to where you're like, oh yeah, your grandfather used to have this happen.
Right.
And then you find out like, oh, wait, what? And you're like, oh yeah, your great grandfather, your father, all of them report having this happen. You're like, why? What are they tapping into? What are they going for? Or what does that person have that makes them unique? Right. I don't know.
I know. Some people say it is the blood.
And that's the only explanation I guess it could really be.
What's the book Nick Redfern wrote? Bloodline of the Gods or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, that's the...
All about the R1.
Yep, the Rh negative blood.
Rh negative blood, that's yeah. It. Yeah, so... And how are they able to trace that? I'm saying, how do they trace it before they abduct you to find out?
Yeah. Well, they have the family tree, the lineage. They just go through the book and been like, okay, who's up next? Oh, wait, up, oh, Kyle. All right, that's his granddad. Yep, that's who we're going for. Go grab that
Maybe that's what the Glimmer Man is he's cloaked, and at night he's sneaking around taking blood samples. And then that he's like, oh, I got one.
He hits you with he's lasing the target. He flashes the laser on you so they know where to come get you at.
Yeah, maybe.
Sneaking around getting your blood drawn by the phlebotomist Glimmer Man.
All right, let's take a break. When we get back from the break, I've got one more for you. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back. Ba, ba, ba. This one says, this happened several years ago on Halloween.
Ooh.
I was out on the beach with my friends, and we were having fun by the fire. Then suddenly, we saw a flash of light. That's all anybody remembers. The events that followed, well, we have connected to that night. It's always the quiet ones, or so I'm told. Let's call her Jessica. Jessica was the token goth girl who was really into paranormal stuff and was also a realist. Days prior to our beach event, she claimed to be visited by otherworldly beings in her home at her family farm. She was a self-proclaimed witch, Cam.
Oh.
One of those. We believe she had something to do with all this. I'm not sure. After that night at the beach, we all, including Jessica, woke up two towns over in the clearings of some dense woods. No car, no clothes, just our underwear. Jessica and her boyfriend at the time were laid near each other's hand in hand. I was the first to wake up. I rubbed my eyes and rubbed my hair. As I was rubbing my hand through my hair, I felt something I know darn well wasn't there before. I had needle marks in my arm, and that wasn't normal marks. Something happened that shouldn't have happened. Of course, I was angry and very distraught, so I began to run. It was a while running, I heard this muffled screech or growl sound. I really don't know what it was, but I had to cover my ears and close my eyes. It was in that whatever amount of lost time that I woke up in a hospital.
Ooh.
My family has no history of mental illness or anything of the sort. I'm a healthy person. Now this happens. The nurse tells me they found me on the side of the road, naked and covered in handprints, bruises, and lightning bolt-looking burn marks, and that I'd lost a lot of blood somehow. I was dehydrated, and for a lack of a better word, I'd been taken advantage of. It has now been several years since that event has taken place. I've stayed off the radar. I haven't spoke to anyone about any of this, not even my own family. I haven't seen or spoken to my friends since that day. I woke up in the woods, and now I'm losing time again and waking up every morning at 2:59 a.m. Things in my home are going missing or are placed in odd places. My pets are acting differently now. My dog will growl for about 30 minutes every night at 5 a.m., growling at the windows. I have a large bay window. I feel like I'm being monitored by something, and it's not human. I've never believed in any of this stuff until it happened to me. None of this made it to the news, and I don't really know how exactly describe what happened to my so-called friends either. I now reside alone, and I'm trying to make sense of all this. I don't want to completely pinpoint aliens, but I have a strong feeling that whatever happened wasn't by the hands of a human. No human can make a noise like I heard, or carry five people miles and miles away and perform those kinds of tests on them overnight. Kendra.
No joke.
So her and a group of friends, same thing. They're abducted and were found miles away from where they were hanging out on the beach with all their clothes removed, except their underwear, in a dense forest.
Dude,
like it dropped them off somewhere else. Then she tried to run and get away, and she talks about this loud screaming, growling. She said it sounded mechanical, if that makes any sense.
Yeah,
like it was an overwhelming sound, and she said it was so loud she had to cover her ears, and she closed her eyes.
What if it's only in her head?
And when she woke up, she was in the hospital. Well, she mentions that there's no history of
mental illness. Yeah, I wonder if it's
But how did it happen to all of them? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because something. Yeah, it's you didn't dream it. It's something happened, right? It's like they're putting that infrasound in your skull to try to slow you down from getting away.
And she hasn't. She mentioned that she hadn't talked. She hasn't talked to her other friends and since the event, and this was years ago. I'd be very interested to see them get together, like somehow have a group interview to see if their stories were similar or if they don't even know what she's talking about. And like you said, it was all a mental break or something.
I'm torn whether I would, if it happened, like, I guess it depends on, like, if it happened to, to some really good friends, it would be the first thing you would talk about.
Yeah.
I mean, if it happened to you and me, I'm not putting it off for years and just ignoring it. The moment I come to, I'm like, hey, where's he at? What just happened, dude?
Yeah, why are they so rudely, why do they never drop you off where they took you? That's kind of rude, right?
Because they don't care. Yeah, it's very rude. Why, I'm like, at least tie my shoes if you're going to make me walk a while.
Drop me off at my house.
Get me close. You took me from the house. You can't drop me back in the backyard. I can let myself in.
Yeah.
I'm like, come on. I have one I want to share with you. It's short. I think y'all are going to enjoy it. I'm doing this one for Kyle because I know he's going to like it. This took place outside of somewhere in Phoenix, Arizona, at a residence there. I want you to listen to this. On July 5th of 2011 in Phoenix, Arizona, a witness was in his backyard when his dog began barking uncontrollably. So he tries to calm her down as she keeps running back and forth in the yard, jumping the fence as if she were chasing a cat. Eventually, she sat down in the middle of the yard, still barking. The witness decided to go outside one last time to bring her in, but as soon as he approached her, she stopped barking. At this point, it became eerily silent, and the night was pitch black.
Oz effect.
When he looked up, he couldn't see any stars. Instead, he thought he noticed a sort of black ellipse in the sky. Suddenly, his cell phone shattered for no apparent reason, and the battery began to leak. He couldn't remember what happened next and later woke up in his room. His subsequent encounter occurred the following morning around 4 or 5. When the sun was barely rising, he looks out the window and he sees a being that was as clear as day. Its face was bony and sunken, lacking eyes and a nose. Instead, there were holes on the side of its head that resembled reptilian ears. The creature had pale flesh and a slight green tint, you ready, and blue spots. It was tall, though hunched over. Here's the part I was waiting for you. It had four arms and tiny legs. Its prominent spine was easily visible through its flesh. Where the ribs would typically be, there were bright pink structures that looked like gills. Stunned, the witness dropped his glass of milk, and the creature turned to look at him, staring for what felt like hours. He then blacks out and wakes up again around noon. The witness also reported two other encounters at a nearby Navajo reservation, during which he discovered a glassy spiderweb-like material that was eventually buried by the others that were present. So this poor guy,
right,
sees his dog's freaking out, goes outside, gets abducted, it sounds like, and then this creepy thing just peering in to make sure it took. Watch it. What is it? It's like a tiny undead gorillion.
It was Goro from Mortal Kombat. That's remember right, that guy with had tiny the four legs. Arms?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. What could that possibly be? Either you were having a psychotic break.
Right.
Or it's happening.
Yeah.
It's really, really happening.
Well, and how do you get over that? Like we talk about so many times on the show, is whether somebody really saw Bigfoot or not, the effect on them is the same.
I don't even know how you would shake that off ever to move forward with your life. Ever.
And it would really be hard to go to sleep.
Yeah.
Ever again. That's what I would be most terrified of. That's like we always talk about. Like if you have an encounter with Bigfoot, well, it's not that scary once you go back in your house. If you're scared of Bigfoot, just don't go in the woods.
Don't go in the woods.
But aliens, you can't get away from them.
That's like demons and ghosts, man. They just linger around and hang around. They're like a rash that won't leave.
We need to figure out some kind of like a Faraday cage that you could build that you could sleep in where they can't come get you.
Man, that is a great point.
I don't know what it needs to be constructed of, though.
Yeah, what could you make it out of? Because I'm afraid they're just going to mess with your mind and you're just going to open up and walk right out and walk right to them.
Moscovium.
Exactly.
The only problem is like you can only create it for like 3 nanoseconds.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. We don't do enough of these crazy abduction stories because I don't like them.
I think that's right. I think that's why you don't like them. It's because actually when you're done and you lay down tonight, you're going to be thinking about
it. Yeah, dude, I'll think about it. Oh, yeah. Remember, we used to always joke about being abducted from your stand. Yeah. Like imagine sitting in your bow stand, right? And you're just like, and then this light goes bing and just shines down on you. And you're like, what? And then the next thing you know, you wake up 200 miles away.
What is your favorite alien abduction movie if you have one?
That's a I'm just going to still stick with Fire in the Sky.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I know it's
classic. You know, it's real.
Well, when I was when I first watched it, I didn't know the real story. I thought that was the real story.
I didn't right? either. I'm with I didn't you. Know I saw the real the movie story first.
Yeah. Yes. So I'm like, holy crap. It was just blew me away. Then after I learned the real story, I think I was more fascinated with the encounter than anything else. But as far as movie wise, now I do love Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
That's a great one.
I do love it. I know it's old school. It's probably a little campy for some because when it was made, I don't know. But I do really enjoy it. But I still think Fire in the Sky because
I would have to agree with you. That's exactly.
Well, I'm a big D.B. Sweeney fan. Like yeah, I right. really like all the guys. But that movie. Look, when he's under this table at home and that syrup starts pouring in his face and he starts losing it with those flashbacks, it gets me every still to this day, dude, grown ass man. And I'm like, I'm panicking for the guy because, yeah, I don't know. It's just that. It's that movie, that whole idea of the way it went down, I think is probably the my favorite abduction one. Is
yeah.
that yours?
Yeah, I would say. Yeah. yeah. Because of the circumstances.
Yeah.
And all the eyewitnesses that saw it.
Well, and the time it took place and where it took place. And it's just like it all works for me. Like, I get it. Like, at the time it went down in the 70s and you're a logger in the middle of nowhere.
Snowflake,
right?
Arizona.
I mean, you're up in the. First of all, the hunting back then would have been amazing. You know how beautiful it would. Oh, oh, it would have been amazing. Until the UFOs show up. So, yeah, I mean, all of that. But
would
yeah,
you risk it? Would you risk a good elk hunt?
Yeah.
Even though you know there was extraterrestrials and you took a.
Dude, there is nothing going to keep 50, me away
50 from. 50 chance that yes. they could come get you.
Yes, of course.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, maybe. Some
no, I'm doing it. No, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. 350 plus, I'm doing it, bro. 400 incher, I'll go with the aliens. I'll make them help me pack it out. I'm like, if you're going to abduct me, at least use that beam to pick this big sucker up and get it back to my truck.
Well, funny enough, there are several cases of hunters seeing aliens and UFOs abducting oh,
yeah.
elk.
Yeah.
They like elk meat.
I don't blame them.
Right?
I don't blame them at all. They do taste amazing.
Speaking of amazing, Halloween is coming up.
Hey-o!
Next week, I'm looking forward to the interesting post that's going to be coming out.
If you eat candy friends. Corn, we're not friends.
I like candy corn.
Because you're a dirtbag.
Listen, do you not remember the first time we appeared in studio with Ducks Unlimited? That
yes.
was like one of the first questions. And I yes. do like candy corn. In Ugh. Fact, you can go to Central Market and they got multiple flavors of candy corn. Now, what
wait,
I said,
wait, they make flavored candy corn? Oh, yeah. It don't just taste like ass and sugar?
No, they got okay. different ones. Now, here's what I'll say when it comes to candy. When I say I like candy corn, that means I probably eat a handful yeah, you a eat, year. That's yeah, it. I don't yeah, eat any yeah, more. Yeah, yeah.
They're not,
that's like fudge. Like,
they're not hatchies,
I'm not a big fudge
folks.
Person. I like fudge. I like two bites. It's too rich for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah,
I see
yeah.
people just packing it away. I'm like,
no,
I can't.
No.
It's too much.
I love, what's it? What is that place we go to in Durango? Oh, the Rocky Mountain Chocolate Factory. They have them in other places.
Yeah, yeah.
But they got the one in Durango. Every time I go in there, I always want to go off. Like, I'm always, like, I'm big timing before I go. And I always tell my wife, I'm going to spend $100 on chocolate. And I spend, like, $11, and I get a couple of those little, they're like the little lemon cream chocolate things.
Yeah.
And that's all I can eat.
Right.
Because they're too sweet.
Yeah.
That's like me. I have that. I'm the same way. I get a lot of reports from people saying, you know, that Cam, he's just too sweet. And too that, nice a guy.
I don't think anybody says that. If you have any cool stories you'd like to share with us, folks, you can email us at expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the hotline, 888-393-2783. Get ready to watch all your Halloween horror movies this week. This next week is going to be yeah. banging. Luke's got a movie planned for every night of the week. So,
and then what is it next week?
Then it's going to be next week, yeah. The end of next week. Then it'll be next Friday.
Oh, I'll be gone.
Yeah.
I think I'll be gone.
I'm not sure what we're going to do. We're going to take the granddaughter to probably something, though, before it's even dark out. You know what I'm saying? Like a trunk or treat or something for like 10 minutes.
Oh,
bounce. That's probably all.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But I'll try to take some photographs. Well, you still need to take photographs of you in your costume.
I know. I've got it back. I left it at my son's. I think we're going to do it. I'll get some photos of it for Halloween. You'll get a kick out of it. That or I'll just have you take one in your front yard. You'll dig
good.
It. You'll dig it.
All right, folks. That's about all the time we have for this show. Till next time, folks. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card. The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.